Blog Talk Radio.
Introducing Renee Wiggins, your certified health and wellness coach, author, and host of Being Fabulously Fit for God's Kingdom Blog Talk Radio. Renee provides a roadmap to staying healthy and fit spiritually and physically. She believes God gave us a gift, our temple, and it's ours to nourish, feed, and honor. Be sure to also catch her on ResultsByRenee.com. That's ResultsByRenee.com. And now, here is Renee.
Hello, this is Renee Wiggins, your host of Being Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, where we engage you to become spiritually, physically, and mentally fit there. It seems like I'm having another technical difficulty where music is coming on where it shouldn't come on, and so it looks like I got two stations. And so, are you still there, Laura Beth? Hi, are you still there, Laura Beth?
Yes, I hear you.
I don't know
fine.
What's going on. I might have to disconnect something. Okay. Sometimes two stations come up at the same time and they shouldn't come up at all. Okay, before we begin, I want to give your bio to everybody because I have a dynamite person on here who has been through the pit. I mean the bottom of the pit, but rose up, is in the pulpit, so to speak, and helped giving out her message to a lot of people that are in pain, that are hurting. Laura Beth is an inspirational poet, writer, speaker, live your best life coach, and the owner of Cheerful Hearts. She knows well the adversities life can present and has overcome tremendous hurdles to get where she is today. A mother to four sons at the age of 28, she became debilitated due to the spinal injury which left her bedfast for over 10 years. Perseverance and finding purpose through pain propelled her to open Cheerful Hearts and motivates, whether it's through her inspirational greeting cards, specialty poet, wall art, gift and keepsake line, impact speaking, or her life coaching. Her desire is the same, to bring compassion and understanding to those who are hurting, to motivate others to overcome their challenges, and to spread joy to the hearts of everyone, wherever they may be in their journey of life. Welcome, welcome, Laura Beth. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Renee. I am doing fantastic, and I'm just very excited to be here and talking with you today.
I am so excited, too. When I read your bio, I was so overwhelmed. I was so inspired. I was like, okay, here I may be complaining, but what you have been through, oh, my God, to just be so cheerful. Everybody, when you hear her speak, she is so poetic. But before we do that, I want to talk to everybody, my listeners out there, about Laura Beth's free gift, Cheer Mail Motivational Publication, offering inspirational insights to live a positive life, will be included in a free upcoming inspirational ebook release. This book will be packed with insights to a successful and fulfilling life, top motivational scriptures and quotes to encourage and ignite your passion and beautifully joyful heart. To ensure your free downloadable copy of Positivity and Sustainable Joy, the surefire ingredients, I like that, the surefire ingredients for finding it, getting it, and keeping it, you want to go to http://cheerfulhearts.com/cheer-mail/ and sign up now. Let's go to http://cheerfulhearts.com/cheer-mail/ and sign up now. Oh, tell us a little bit more about yourself, Mary Beth. Laura Beth, Mary Beth.
No problem. A lot of people do that because Mary Beth is more common. So no problem at all. Well, I'm happy to be sharing with you. I do have a joyful heart, and it really is a miracle that I live with such joy. Now I'm on the other side of a very, very long, long, hard journey. And there are still times where it's very difficult. But out of everything that I went through, what's amazing is that I found that when I became bedfast first at 28, that's when things really changed for me. I started, before then I was a very strong Christian. I was got married very young, and really my dream was just to be a mother, to be a hands-on full-time mom, very much the homemaker and the traditional role of being at home. And that was just my heart's desire. I loved children, loved having the children. And so I was really living, what would be considered the American dream for me. My husband made a good living at the time, my ex-husband now. So things were fairly comfortable in our lives. And I was an extremely active person and loved being outdoors, and I with four boys, you had to stay very active. And I had had a car accident when I was 18 before I got married at 21, and the car accident did a lot of damage from the upper neck to the lower spine. But within a year, rehabilitation, all of the things that you go through, I was functional. I had to be careful with certain things, had to give up certain things, pushing, lifting, running, things of that nature. But I was completely functional. And but through the years, I continued to re-injure it, and I had pregnancy after pregnancy that took its toll on my spine. Four babies in a row, like from 20 to 28, and I was only like 5 feet, 100 pounds, and I already had a weak spine from the accident. So, looking back, I can say that I pushed myself way too hard, and then I realized, which I'll fast forward soon to what the Lord showed me over the years and how He did a lot of healing in my life, because I had a lot of trauma, a lot of dysfunction from my past. And I was on a path to really try to, I guess, erase it in a form that probably was unhealthy, though I didn't know it at the time, because I was trying to do so much and I didn't take care of myself well, just pushed my body so hard. And then, by the time I had my fourth pregnancy, I had so many relapses and so many injuries. But the fourth pregnancy, I never expected. I always bounced back, but the fourth one, I had an injury. One of my children, that was like the third child, that was 2 years old at the time, had injured himself, so I had to carry him, and it was towards the end of my pregnancy. So normally I wouldn't do that. Your mother's adrenaline's up, and I ran him to the hospital and carried him and was fine the whole time. And then by the evening, I was in more excruciating pain in my low back and hips than I had ever. I couldn't stand, I couldn't move. It was excruciating, and I didn't know what I had done. Well, it turned out I became bedfast for the rest of the pregnancy. I could not function. I had no stability. And it turned out that what I did was I damaged discs that had already been damaged. So I did, and then I, but the worst part was that at towards the end of your pregnancy, everyone's told don't lift. There's ligaments that are stretching or spreading to help the delivery. Well, my ligaments in my SI joints, what they said happened is basically they got overstretched, like a overstretched rubber band, and some of them actually tore. And so there's nothing they can do about that. And it's your whole core stability. So you can't sit, you can't stand. The only thing you can do is lay down without excruciating pain. So from that point on, like my whole world was turned upside down. I went from being this fully active, hands-on, trying to be the perfect mom, the perfect wife, the perfect person, which later I found out, God wanted to heal me because perfectionism is a disease, and really there's no such thing as perfection. But being stripped suddenly of everything, then having these boys, these little children running around, and I couldn't take care of them, you can imagine the devastation. I would have been happy had I just been able to, like, I used to think, I wish I just had like a paralyzation where I could just sit up in a wheelchair and be functional and just get moving. But I was forced to lay still. The only thing, I mean, the pain was horrendous, and the only thing that helped was if I laid flat long enough with pillows in certain ways to where I didn't move, the pain would be under control. So I went through complete devastation, as you can imagine. The whole family did, because I, you know, when mom is not there doing what she's used to doing, everything falls apart. So at the time, my ex-husband did, you know, kick in the best he could. The church came in temporarily, but this was a long-term problem. The doctors didn't offer any solution. They didn't offer any hope. Most people that have SI joint disorder, they never walk again. It is one of the worst injuries that you can have. So I was determined at the time. I'm a very determined person. I thought, I'm not going to be stuck in this bed. I have to raise these children, and God's got a plan. And I thought he was going to supernaturally heal me. I had such faith. I totally believed that. Got prayed for, just went through, you know, searching my soul. Is there anything I need to repent of? You name it. I totally believed I was going to be healed. But actually what God did is during that time, and I went through terrible despair. I went through, in the beginning, I was very suicidal. I felt worthless. I felt like I couldn't be the mom I needed to be for my children. I felt terribly guilty that I couldn't provide anything physically for my ex-husband. So the depression, it was extreme. And I already had insecurity issues as it was, and I could overshadow them when I kept busy. But here, all of a sudden, I was still and stripped of everything. Well, it was then when God really started to do a work in my life, and more so because I was still, had I kept as busy as I ever was, I would have never had that time to be still and hear the Lord and have him do the work that he needed to do in me. So I went to a counselor. I had to seek a professional, and I recommend that to anybody who's in serious depression. There's nothing wrong with getting help, whether it's through a counselor, a friend, a life coach, whatever it is. Support it's so important to talk about it, especially when there's anything life-altering. It's really important for the entire family. So I went to a counselor, and one of the things that really helped me, Renee, was that when I was telling him how worthless I felt because I couldn't be the mom that I wanted to be to my children, he said, you know, even if all you do is breathe, and you just lay in that bed and that's all you can do is breathe, that's important. And that spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And then went home, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me and saying that, you know, your love for who you are, not for what you can do. And it took time. It took a couple of years until I really came to be at peace with that and came to understand and believe that. And then we ended up bringing help in the house. I had to get help. I also had to get very creative, and my oldest, you know, would help me with the youngest, and I would put up gates and lay on the couch, and, you know, I really learned to parent from my bedside. And we eventually made the family room kind of, or my bedroom, the king size bed became the family room. We played games, we did homework, you know, it actually ended up being that as much as I couldn't do physically, I feel like I was able to give them 100% of my love, you know, time and attention. So even though they lacked in some things, I feel like they benefit in other areas. And when they were young, they also were extremely compassionate, and they really were my lifeline as to really give me a purpose. It's like to hang on. As much as I really didn't want to be living in this body on this earth the way I was, it was a struggle, but I knew in my spirit, as much as I would just beg God to take me, that it wasn't his will. And so if that wasn't his will, I kept hanging on to healing. And then, but for like the first 5 years, I would, I just was determined that I was going to find a doctor and a specialist that was going to be able to tell me that there was a solution, that I was going to be able to get up and get functional again. And I went really all over the country to the different specialists, and I had several surgeries, and they failed. And I'll tell you, you kind of go through all the feelings all over again. Despair, you don't understand, you wonder where God is, but he was there. he was always there comforting me. And one of the ways that he comforted me was through words. And those words, I would be in my deepest, darkest hours. And that is often when we hear God's voice the loudest. And I would go to sleep with just sadness in my heart. But I know people were praying for me because prayer is so powerful. And I would wake up and I would have an entire poem of encouragement that would just pour out of me. And at the time, I just heard the Lord say, write. So I started with a pen and a paper and a college-bound notebook. And I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. And powerful and tons of every different point to where I was emotionally, God met me there. He understood. He was compassionate. But everything I wrote was an expression of that sadness, but always turned back to God in a positive, just a total positive turnaround. For instance, the very first poem I wrote was called What Might I Gain? And I was thinking, what might I gain? There's nothing to gain from losing everything, nothing to gain from lose at 28 years old, becoming completely bedfast and living with this kind of pain. But in time, it was revealed to me, there was so much to be gained, so much. And then eventually after the 5-year period came where there was no more hope at that time for me to be able to recover. And I finally came to the point where I had to come to a place of an acceptance. And it wasn't that I was giving up. It was just that, okay, Lord, if this isn't the course right now, I will always hope that one day I will be better, but I'm going to serve you and I'm going to love you and I'm going to choose joy whether I ever get better or not. That was a very big turning point for me. So that when I did that, the Lord, all the writing that I had been doing, the Lord had impressed upon me that I had had a vision. I had just had the name Cheerful Hearts. It came from a Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. And the Lord deposited a vision in me that one day I was going to be encouraging, inspiring, uplifting others with the same encouragement he gave me. And at the time, I didn't see how that would ever be possible. How could God use me from a bed? I can't get out. I can't. All the different avenues that I used to go and serve him were no longer there. But he had a plan, and I trusted him. And I grew much, much closer to him. And I leaned so heavily on him, so dependently on him. And my spirit grew, and my strength grew, and who I was in Christ as a human being, as a woman, it was growing stronger and stronger. Of course, I'm using all this time to pour into myself. Like by the time the kids were getting, you know, they were all in school, I had all of this quiet time. So I read books. I read self-help books. I watched Joyce Meyer on television every single day. Anything of positivity, anything to encourage my spirit and to grow in the Lord. And through all of that, through all the writing, and then the dream of Cheerful Hearts, about 2006, I'd say, I knew at that time, I was thinking that, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do with all of this? What is Cheerful Hearts going to become? And that's when the whole thing started coming together where I knew that I was going to put all of the words that the Lord gave me into an inspirational greeting card and gift line. And I partnered with somebody. Actually, I hired a life coach because I had no idea how I was going to do this from the bed. No clue I was going to, you know, except that I could use the computer, which was my lifeline, how in the world I was going to be able to do all the aspects of creating and running a company. So I hired a life coach, and that helped me tremendously. I actually hired someone who also lived with a health condition. So I knew that she would have the skill sets as well to be able to help me because she herself had started her own company. And it didn't take much. And within a month, I partnered with an illustrator. I was able to put my poetry, create and design cards and prints and everything where the beautiful poetry speaks to the soul as well as the picture goes with it. So it's beautiful to the eyes and it speaks to the soul. So I did that in 2006. Yeah, it's to see it all come to life, you know, after really 10 years of writing, going through it, living it, and to see it all come together and actually form into what was going to be, you know, a ministering company, it was amazing. I could have never seen that in the beginning. And you can't see it when you're in the heart of it, when you're in the pit and you're in the pain and you're in the disappointment. And I want people to really walk away with, no matter how far you are in the pit, you never can see out of it. We can't see what God can see. But there is a way out, and God will make a way where there is no way. I promise you
that.
I'm
going to ask you a couple of questions because, you said a mouthful, a lot. It's just awesome. No, this is awesome because when you were talking, I was thinking of Job. And I was thinking in the way of I don't know, not being Jobness, the woman version. Because here you are, because you said yourself he was stripped of everything. And when you said it, I thought of Job being stripped, and here you were stripped. But yet, then you came back and said, and I was going to ask you, did you still believe in God with all that you're going through, with all that you were going through, did you believe in God? Your faith
I did.
As you went along. Wow.
It did. I didn't doubt God because I just knew that I knew that I knew that he was there. And all I had to do was open up the word and he'd comfort me with his word or, you know, a hug from my child, or there was always some way that I knew he was there. Now I have to tell you, there was a time, that I got angry with God, and that was right before I came to the acceptance of the disability. And that was because I had written a poem. The Lord, they would just come to me. And this particular poem is called Believe. And the first bits of it are believe, believe with all your might. We walk by faith and not by sight. Do what I say and trust in me. I am your God and will set you free. And it goes on to talk about healing and he's your comforter. And so when I wrote that, I was about to have my last surgery and I thought, this is it. This is the one that's going to get me walking. And I came back and they made it worse and it didn't work. And I was just devastated. And I remember getting so like, God, you gave me these words. I know that they were from you. You've called me to do Cheerful Hearts and raise these. How can I do this? How can I do this with this body? I was just, why don't you heal me? My children need me. They need a mom who's up, and my heart was just broken. And I think that's right after that, I said, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. I had never lost it to that degree where I was yelling at God, and I repented. And I went to sleep that night, you know, very felt beat up emotionally, felt like I let God down. I couldn't believe I blew it like that. And just to show his compassion and his love and his understanding of our emotions, I woke up the next morning with a song completely in my heart, in my head, no piano, no guitar, nothing. And it was called My Heart is Hurting. And I sing it today when I go out and share my story. So it just, regardless of how much we hurt, God knows our hurting heart. He just wants us to turn to him.
But a lot of times people think of healing, of getting rid of that disease, healing, like you said, that you'd be able to sit up, be able to walk, healing that you have no more pain. But what God is also healing you is through the mindset. Because you said yourself, I did everything from the bed, and he was letting you know you don't have to get up and walk. You don't have to run around and do all these things. You can still, as you say, minister to your children. You can still take care of your children from the bed. That was your platform right there.
You're right.
That was
you're
your
so
platform.
Right. It did. I had to change my mindset. I went from feeling like a failure to feeling like I have a lot of value. Because Christ is in me, and I have love to give, and I have kind words to give, and I can nurture, and I can teach, and I don't have to just be running around cleaning and, you know, all the things that you think and running your games and all the things that you can get caught up in, which really can take away some of your quality time with them.
Right.
So yeah, I really had a change. God did a, he really did a, complete reconstruction of my heart. He changed my heart. He changed my emotions. He also, through that, through the counseling I needed to get to learn how to endure living with this condition, I also dealt with a lot of my past issues. And I read books on healing from your past. And I always thought, you know, you're a new creature in Christ. You don't have to deal with your past. But really, you have to actually face it, deal with the pain to be healed from it. And that's what God wanted for me. And I do believe that he wants that for everybody. And he can actually, pain can be used as an instrument if we allow God to use it. Pain, tribulation, it all can be used for his good if we allow it.
Not only if we allow it, but we also got to see it and to embrace it and learn to give it up to him, because we're so busy wanting to be in control that he took the control person to you got to depend on me. But before we go on, when you said hope, I thought of hurtling over obstacles and pain to achieve excellence or to get excellence. So that's what I turn hope into, hurling over obstacles and pain to achieve excellence. And your excellence, you didn't know or not, was in your mindset. Because, you see, your mind didn't go. Your body moves, maybe in a prison like Nelson Mandela. Remember Nelson Mandela stayed in prison for 22 years? They said they may imprison his body, but they did not imprison his mind. And that's what it was with you. Your mind was not a prison.
You're right. And actually, it was like, amazingly, because of all the reading I did and all I self-educated, I took classes online. Who would have ever thought? I would have never thought I was smart enough to be not only a poet and writer, but a businesswoman. It really blows my mind when we are forced into a different situation, what God can use and what he can highlight in your life. You know, as you said, my mind, I had no idea how much was in there until I was still.
We're just laughing at each other, listeners, because, you know, people do say, I didn't know I was that. Sometimes I say that. Oh, I didn't know that I was that smart.
I had no clue. I really was just average, and if you had told me I was going to be able to do the things that I can do now, I wouldn't have believed you. But it showed me that if I studied and I learned that I could do it. And of course, with God's also his gifting and his grace on all of it, the writing that I do, and that when I would write a poem, I would put it down and look at it, and I couldn't even believe I wrote it, because it was so powerful. But it really is because it was God's Holy Spirit through me. It really, truly is a gift. And, you know, I've worked on honing it and crafting it, but it truly is a gift from the Lord. And it's a blessing, because God knows with my personality, I would have gone crazy. And I really felt like I was in the beginning, like mentally going crazy from the stillness, from not being able to be active and busy. But because he gave me an outlet with writing, it was actually very cathartic for me. And then later, a ministry to then reach out to others. You know, when you bless others, it blesses you. And so God knew what he was doing all along. And I'm just so grateful that he gave me the vision, that he helped me through all those dark times. And then now I'll share with you something. Once I got to that point of acceptance, once I got happy, everything was functioning. I was running the household just like I would if I was up and about, just through the help of hands of other people. And I was, you know, running the business online, and I was so happy. I was at the happiest place because I was doing, I felt God's work, and had just started Cheerful Hearts back in 2006. And within a year of opening it, my whole world was turned upside down again. And the enemy came in strong, because I guess he did not want me to go forward with the work that God had called me to do. And so everything that I loved was taken from me once again, except this time, I'll just say things got very bad in my marriage, and it was a very unhealthy relationship. My husband, my ex-husband, I do not believe he accepted my disability. And I think when I finally came to acceptance, he just, I guess we had worked so hard to, you know, get me well, and it didn't happen. And then I had a lot of joy, and there were issues way before, of course, but it brought everything to the surface. And so he pulled away from me very much so, and things were very toxic, I'll just say, in the household. And we ended up getting a divorce, and Cheerful Hearts had to be put on hold because I was devastated, and I had no way to care for myself. He was my caregiver. And so I ended up moving to Texas very suddenly with my sisters, who both shared taking care of me. And at the same time, I was trying to get a new treatment that the doctors were very hopeful that would maybe get me functional again. And at the same time, I was fighting to get well, to find some independence, and to fight for my children to be able to share custody. Well, in all of that time, the boys, two of them were grown and two of them were teenagers. And it was a very sad situation, but they did not understand my circumstances. And so we'll just say that it didn't end well. And the children, they're with their father. I mean, they're grown now, but it was a very, very heartbreaking situation. And I thought, gosh, right when I was about to, just when life looked good, just when I pulled out of the pit and I had vision and I had a dream, everything was gone again. And I lost everything. I lost my home, my family, like everything for 20 years that I had built around me was gone. And I started over in Texas, literally with nothing to my name. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Lord, how can this happen? I did question, I'm going to be honest, you know, I didn't understand, and I wanted my marriage and I wanted my family so bad. So, and I prayed and believed, but it takes both parties to want to change and to want to make things better. And it didn't happen. So, mm-hmm. So when I had that loss, I had to figure out how to go forward. So the Cheerful Hearts was completely put on hold. I didn't know if it would be resurrected again. I really didn't know. But it was so, so deep in my heart. I felt it's like a part of my being. I didn't know how I was going to do it. I felt like a failure all over again. And I didn't know how I was going to do it. One thing that helped me get through that, the Lord sent a lady, her name is Trish Robichaud, into my life. And she's the one who helped me start the business, the life coach I mentioned. She really was my lifeline through the whole thing. And having her and her support to believe in me and to tell me I was going to get through it, to be there, I can't say enough about how helpful she was, and such a blessing to me. And she knew too, and she would tell me, this is just temporary. Just remember that this is just a pause. It seems like a long road down right now, but you will get there again. And it happened. It took a long time, but I had the medical procedure. There's technology had advanced enough, so I had something called a spinal cord stimulator implanted into my spine, and I was able to stand upright for the first time in 10 years. That was about 7 years ago, and that was amazing, and my sister shared that with me, and then I had to learn how to do everything. Like, I had to learn to walk properly again, be able to sit up and down properly. You know, I did it all through water therapy I probably was there 20 hours a week for a year learning how to rehabilitate. And even with that, there's up and down. It wasn't like 100% because it's pain management. It's not a cure, but we had done enough structurally that by the time we got this spinal cord where they implant wires into your spine, a battery in my hip, and it's all connected, and it sends electrical signals to the brain to trick the brain that the nerves are okay. And it allows you to cover up the pain and rebuild the muscles around the injury. And so that's what I did. And so I was able to get enough on my own to where with help that I was able to live on my own in an apartment. And then I went to, looked into government assistance, program called DART, and decided I was going, you know, once I went through a lot of more emotional healing and counseling, and felt strong again. I was also in the middle of life coaching training through all of this, which got put on pause as well. But then I started all of it back over again a couple years later, and went on to do, you know, I can walk now. I still have to use the wheelchair for distance, but if you saw me on a good day, you would have no idea I even have a disability. It's really, when people see me walking in church on good days, they just, there's the miracle walking. It's really amazing. And I went on to meet a wonderful, wonderful godly man, married him about a year ago. And right around the time that I really relaunched Cheerful Hearts, and he is a partner by my side, I finished getting my life coaching, and I've been speaking, and life is just, it's really good again. Took a long time to get here, and there's still hard days. There's still pain flares where I'm in bed for months. I mean, not months anymore, weeks. And I have limitations. I have to pace myself and take care of myself and always do my water rehabilitation. So it's not saying it's easy, but life is really joyful. I have such a rich, full life, and nobody would believe that everything I went through and all the loss, it is only because of the grace of God and choosing to keep choosing joy, keep seeking Him. And that is why I can have a cheerful heart.
Wow, such powerful message. Such, Laura Beth, such powerful, because throughout all this, I don't know how some of my listeners, or even myself, would have survived. Some people would have given up, just have lost all hope. But you did not. Yes, you said you might occasionally, you know, you didn't deny. You might got angry at God, but you never once denied Him. And that's what I think holds a lot of people together, because they know they have the faith. They know God is always by their side. Because just becoming a Christian doesn't mean you're going to have a road of peaches and cream. There's still going to be obstacles. There's still going to be some pain. And matter of fact, those that are non-Christians are going to be throwing darts at you just to see how well you sustain. So This is really, truly a blessing story, because you can, again, motivate deeply from the heart, because you were really deep in that pit where you had no hope, but God was there holding your hand the whole entire time.
Wow. Amen.
That is really beautiful, because a lot of people I've seen give up so quickly.
Yeah, they do, and you
not
can't. You just. There were moments. There are moments where you feel like giving up. I think we all have those moments. And I can tell you what you do in those moments is you reach out to people because you need support. If I did not have the support of my life coach, then my sisters, and, you know, you surround yourself with people who love you and can support you so that you can, in those moments where you want to give up, you know you can't give up. And there really needs to be, you just need to look for a reason to hope. You really have to, it is totally your mindset. If you fall in the pit, I've had those moments of wanting to say, I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. When I'd lived on my own and I had been walking, and then one of the treatments stopped working and I was stuck in bed again. It's terrifying to not be able to take care of yourself and get to the kitchen to get your food. And I remember thinking, God, I don't want to live like this anymore, you know, if I'm not going to get better again. But then there was another treatment that came along and I got better. So I had those moments, but you can't stay there. You have to fight those feelings, and you have to replace it with the Word of God and what the Word of God says. You have to, and then you bounce back.
It's true. It's having the faith, keeping, you know, the words in your heart close to you, and never, never, never give up, because He doesn't give up on you. We always have plans, plan to do this, plan to do that. We plan on, when in fact God has plans for us, we just have to learn to surrender and let Him direct our path. But man always wanted to do his thing his way, when God says, I got other plans for you. And now
I do.
I am
guilty of that myself. Even still, I'm a planner. It's my personality to plan things out, And sometimes we do, but I'm learning more and more to just go with the flow and to, like you said, surrender. When I'm feeling poorly, I don't fight it anymore. Okay, oh Lord, okay, Lord, my body needs to rest. I can't push it. You know, it's a learning tool. Pain and disappointment can actually be a learning tool. And as you said, it's not about our plans, it's about His plans. I had completely different plans for my life. And it took so many, you can see so many courses where it didn't go at all like I wanted to go. But ultimately now that I'm on the other side and I'm speaking and I'm encouraging and I'm having a full life as far as being able to get to church and to physical therapy and a bit more social and work life. I would have never imagined that I could have such a rich life when I was in those darkest moments. So I hope that encourages people that just to hang on, and it could take some time. It's never in our time and it's never in our plan, but life gets better.
Ooh, preach, preach, preach. You're right, because there are times when I said to God, you're going too slow, you're going too slow. Let me take it back. And then I take it, and then I said, I come back my head down. Okay, I'll hand it back over to you.
That is so true. Yeah.
It's so true. It's true, because we just think life should be glorious, because we see that on TV, you see that in magazines, but you never know what a person is actually going through or had been through and come out of the fire. I mean, you've been in the pit, in the fire, and now you out for it, which is good, because now you can really grab everybody else's hand that's in sinking sand and said, no, God and I are not going to let you go and sink.
Amen.
He's not going to let you stumble, and He's not going to let you fall, because He didn't let you, because it's beautiful. It's so much messages in your story. The mindset is that mindset that really, if we're in that negativity, it draws negativity. We never see anything else but negativity. But you saw the positive in this and turned each and everything around. That is so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah.
So we only got about a minute left. I want you to at least give everybody your website, okay?
Absolutely, yes. Please, everybody, visit www.cheerfulhearts.com. We have so much free goodies for you there, tons of free inspiration. We have one place called Comfort for the Soul. It's specifically designed for people who are hurting, going through depression, going through sickness, any hardships, everything that I looked for to help cheer me up. So you don't have to go looking all over the place. It's right there in our Comfort for the Soul page. We also have Laura Best Be Inspired blog, and of course our cheer mail, which Renee's talked about in the beginning, where I send out inspirational messages to help you live a positive life. And if you go to the cheer mail to our homepage, www.cheerfulhearts.com, make sure you sign up for the cheer mail today, because whoever's on that cheer mail is going to receive a book that is in process, an e-book that's going to be very, very powerful. And that's going to be a gift to anybody who's on my cheer mail coming out later this month.
Please, everyone, all my listeners, please sign up for a free downloadable copy of Positivity and Sustainable Joy, the surefire ingredients for finding it, getting it, and keeping it. Go to her site, cheerfulhearts.com, and please, you know, visit her on her other sites as well, because Laura Beth got... I want to thank you so much, Laura Beth, for coming on. I'm so glad that we found each other, and your journey has been very inspirational. It's a surefire messages that you mentioned tonight, a lot of healthy tidbits, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Renee. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, too.
It has been a pleasure with you, and I know you're going to do miraculous things, because God has been using you. Believe me, He has.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. All righty, then. We will talk to you soon.
Soon. Thank you so much. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listen to Renee Wiggins of Blog Talk Radio, Fabulously Fit in God's Kingdom, next week for more fabulous tips on nutrition, fitness, and stress management.